Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're at volume 17, 8 to 19, 25. I found myself inside a vast garden, and to my surprise, I found Mary, my queen mama, who, drawing near me, told me, "My daughter, come with me to work in this garden. We must plant in it celestial and divine flowers and fruits." So here we see how with Louisa, how the Blessed Mother says that Our Lady, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, is asking the little daughter, Louisa, to work with her in this garden, to plant celestial and divine flowers and fruit. She says, it is now almost empty, and if there is any plant at all, it is terrestrial and human, and therefore we want to root them out so that the garden may be fully pleasing to my son Jesus. So what Jesus tells Louisa is that which is human doesn't please him. What pleases him is the human entering into the divine. Again, that's why the priest every day at Holy Mass says we share in the divinity. We want to root out all that is human and fill this garden, this paradise, with divine. Because that's what we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live. If you listen to Our Lady of Revelation to Bruno, she says, my children are going to enter into the beatific vision. My children are going to enter into eternity and be happy forever. Why? She says, time has now come to an end. The end of that which has separated us from God is coming to an end. We're going to begin to enter into this divine and abundant life. A new and divine way of holiness, as St. John Paul II said. So this is what's happening. So God is asking us to be with Louisa to root out anything that is human, fallen human nature, to replace it with the divine nature, which is image and likeness of God. So that's what God is asking. Through his mother. Volume 19, 620, 1926. My divine will empties the human will, and that in that void, no more human will, it places the divine strength and the divine life of God, of good. Therefore, the one who lets it reign within herself does good without strain, and the life that she contains leads her to operate good with an irresistible strength. So here, empty that of human. To go back to God's image and likeness, empty that with the fallen human nature. We are redeemed, but now God wants to sanctify us. It's not just the fallen redeemed, but redeemed and now sanctified. That's what's coming. Why? For a divine strength, divine life, operating good with an irresistible divine strength, not a human, not the human fallen nature that has been redeemed, but the redeemed. He says, I redeem mankind to sanctify them. And now, he says, now sanctification has begun. That's why everything's falling apart. Everything's falling apart. Why? The kingdom's coming, and the evil one is very upset that he's losing his kingdom. The kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is heaven, and it's already begun in the souls. Remember 2,000 years ago, Jesus would say to those disciples, the kingdom of God is not far from you. And they wouldn't ask him any more questions. 2,000 years later, Jesus is now saying to Louisa, now the kingdom of God begins with the first soul who has lived in it, Louisa. Louisa has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And now Jesus is saying to us, I want you to have this divine operating, this divine strength, this divine life, this life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And again, it's only begun. This has only begun. When that day happens, and Jesus talks about that day, the day when the divine will, when that happens, everyone will begin to possess this fully. To have anybody possess it fully now, it doesn't make sense, because that means you don't go to confession. And I don't know anyone that doesn't go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, it's when this day occurs, and Jesus says it's soon, that's the great thing. Watch what's going to happen. The whole world is going to be in ecstasy. Volumes 19:8-26. You see, and all this doom and gloom that people are predicting is only for the evil one and for his followers. Our Lady says we are going to be with her in eternity, where we're supposed to be. This is what's coming. It's glorious. And she's saying, begin to live it now. I'm going to teach you how to live it now. This is why emptying yourself is so important. Volume 19:8-26. Oh, the power of my divine will, how great you are. You alone unite the greatest and the highest being with the littlest and the lowest being, making them one. God and man become one. Heaven and earth kiss. The two become one. This is the mystical marriage. It's beginning. That's why we wear the ring. We accept God's proposal. You alone have the virtue of emptying the creature of all that does not belong to you, Lord God, to be able to form in the soul with your reflections that eternal sun, that light, that life, that love, filling both heaven and earth with its rays, and goes to blend with the sun of the supreme majesty of God. It's the reflection of God. Image and likeness is what's coming. And again, nobody possesses it fully. We get glimpses of it. As soon as you worry, you're out of it. As soon as you're fearful, you're out of it. As soon as you're complaining, you're out of it. As soon as you're negative, you're not in the divine will. It's to re-enter in. That's why re-entering into continuously. As soon as you're faced with a situation where you become disturbed, uncomfortable, flustered, say, Thea, Lord, I want to pass this test. I want to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. I want to continue to live heaven on earth. Volume 19:8-26. My divine will is more than light. It diffuses everywhere and brings good that it contains, and the acts done in it forms the atmosphere of gold and silver that has the virtue of emptying all the darkness of the night of the human will, the misery of the human will. With what? With its beneficial light. Why? To bring the kiss of the eternal volition, to dispose the souls to wanting to come into the kingdom of the supreme fiat. That's why we always say fiat. I want to enter into this life. I want the life of Jesus and Mary. I want to be in God's image and likeness. I want that. And God goes, good. Prove it. And that's where there's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints. I have people that call me and all they do is complain. And I go, it's fiat. There's no problem. It's fiat. Fiat, fiat, learn to say fiat. Let Jesus teach you how to live in the fiat. You'll be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Nothing will bother you. Volume 19:10-26. See this light that you see as centered in my breast as the supreme will. As you admit your acts, light arises. Light communicates itself to you and brings you new knowledges, new understandings, new truths about my fiat, the emptying you of your misery, your worry, your fear, anxiety, I don't want that. Enlarge the place for God, in which I, God, can extend more within you, so that you are more of my image and likeness. As I, God, keep extending myself, so do your natural life, your human will, all of yourself come to an end. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. It comes to an end. To see what Jesus is teaching us, he's teaching us how to live his life. He's teaching us how to live Our Lady's life. When you listen to Archbishop Piceri, when you listen to the Dawn of a Mystery, watch the Dawn of a Mystery often. Watch it often. What you will hear him say is, no one in the history of the church explained how the Our Father is going to be filled, how the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He says, this is Louisa's job. This is why she wrote the 36 volumes, to help us embrace this gift. This is great. As I keep extending myself, so do your natural life, your human will, all of yourself come to an end. Why? Because you will give a place for my divine will to reign. And I, God, occupy myself with forming and extending more and more this kingdom of the supreme fiat in you. Every time you read, it's filling you more and more. And you, listen to this, you shall have larger field. You'll have larger land to plow, to put the seeds of the divine will there. Why? So more can grow to give honor and glory to God. To make your round in it, you'll learn how to pray the rounds. To help me, God, in the work of the new formation of my kingdom in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your parishioners. A new and abundant life happens. He says this to the priest through Louisa. He says, you priests feed a hard and undigestible bread. He says, teach the children how to eat this bread of heaven, this first bread, the bread of the divine will. Then the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the second bread, will manifest itself in the souls. It's the great things are coming to a new formation of my kingdom in the midst of creatures. Psalm 20:1-6, 1927. The star was seen, this is the star of Bethlehem, was seen by everyone. Not yet only the three magi were moved. They paid attention to that star and followed it. This says that among all, these three alone possessed a certain dominion of themselves, the magi, such that it formed the little empty space with the interior beyond the appearance of the star. They felt God's call echoing in their interior. That's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Jesus came as the Son of God. Mary came as the Mother of God. They gave this gift to Louisa, the little newborn, who felt the call of echoing in her interior this life of Jesus and Mary, that the Magi followed. This is what's coming now, a new beginning for the world. And it's not really new because Adam lived it. It's not really new before he lost it. It's not really new before Jesus and Mary came to earth and they lived it. Now they've given it to Louisa. And the souls who are reading this book, they're getting glimpses of it, just glimpses. The magnificence of it has not yet been manifested. When that occurs, everyone, Jesus says this in volume 24, everyone's going to be rejoicing because they'll know the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. When that happens, when that great day happens, hang on to your hats, the devil will be gone. When you call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, when you say, come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing, come, this explosion of I love you to the throne of God, bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, when that happens, the devil will be banished from earth, will return to paradise, we'll return to the garden where we belong. All the animals in paradise are still alive. All the fruits, the vegetables, the plants in the garden are still there. We're the only ones that aren't there. Everything's going to be restored. The repairing and the redoing is the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Lord God Almighty, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's what's happening. This is why the little children of the Holy Divine Will are so happy, peaceful, and joyful. They're beginning to live heaven on earth already. Jesus has this planned, and we're in it. I wanted men who would have dominion of themselves, who would form the little empty space within their interior to let the echo of my call resound in it. They offered themselves to serve me, to lay down their lives for the love of me. No more worry. See, our miserable human will is filled with worry, fear, anxiety. No more. We lay that down. Why? For the love of God. But my divine will made itself known and sent them again into their regions to let them be in the midst of those peoples. They are the criers of my coming king, my coming upon earth. So here the prophets and the judges, they laid down their lives for love of God, and they were the criers of Jesus. And he says, now you have to see the necessary, how the dominion of oneself and the empty space of one's heart in order to let my call resound and to be fitting for knowing. This is what God is asking of us. To knowing the truth for manifesting it to others. I know a lot of people. I got a call once from somebody in California, and they said, send me the 36 volumes. And I said, why? He goes, I want to teach it. I said, well, that's really nice of you. I said, but study it for 20 years. Study it for 40 years. And begin to understand what this is. This gift is so magnificent that a lot of people are teaching the divine will in a way that hurts the divine will. They say, well, I'm doing divine acts. I'm living a divine life. No. Father Bucci says those people that say that are only fooling themselves. To live in the divine will is to be little, insignificant, and hidden. To live in the divine will is to let God reign. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaining, no more negativity, no more doubting. It's to begin to live this abundant life. You have to be fitted for knowing the truth and for manifesting it to others. How do you manifest it? Like Our Lady did. Our Lady was silent. Like our Lord did. He was silent for 30 years. He talked for 3. And then they killed him. They crucified him. To live in the divine will is to be little, insignificant, and hidden. To live in the divine will is nothing for you. Nothing. It's all for the glory of God. And that's what God is at. God is asking us to enter into this abundant life. He's asking us to begin to live this great life. And it's fiat. It's fiat. Volume 20, 1-9-1927. With the balance of all the human acts in which the soul has let the acts of the divine will enter on her part, she empties all of her human acts, all that's miserable, and then lets the divine will flow as the prime act in them. The divine will lays its foundation within those souls because there is a soul who takes to heart that there be no human act in which she does not want to fix her light, so that that what is human may be knocked down and the divine will alone may reappear in all things. No worry. Fiat. When people are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, what we can do to help them is say fiat. God will take care of it. Fiat. Trust in God. Fiat. Everything's going to be okay. This is what Jesus and Mary teach Louisa. If you're not in your misery, you're in God's will. If you're not upset, you're in God's will. If you're not doubting, you're in God's will. It's to say to the Lord, you know, you reign in me. Breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Become one with God in all of creation. Volume 20, 2/11/1927. I was in my usual state, which was suffering. And my adorable Jesus made me see many strings in my interior, one close to another, starting from a sphere that was in the middle of all these strings. And under the sphere, it was empty. And that in that empty space, there was my sweet Jesus, who very often touched those strings and played, but in such a harmonious and beautiful way that it cannot be described. God is in control. There's no worry. I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you. You know, when on the day of our death, we're going to have to say to Jesus, I give you my heartbeat. I give you my breath. I trust you. I trust in you. You're more important to me than my heartbeat. You're important to me than my breath. I trust you. I've seen many people die. And those that love Jesus died beautifully. Those that did not know Jesus, it was terrifying. They were terrified. You have to begin to give up everything now. So on that day, that glorious day of death, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to be with our God. We're going to be in the kingdom. That's why I said, watch the near-death experiences. Watch them and learn from them. Especially if they see Jesus. I don't like to go to ones that don't have Jesus. I love Jesus. Go to the near-death experiences and enter into that life when they surrender it to God, when they're with God. It's absolutely beautiful. Vine 22, 7/21/1927. My daughter, how heavy you have become. Don't you know that oppression, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity weighs the soul down? And if I want to take you into my arms, I have to make an effort to lift you. On the other hand, my divine will empties the weight of nature. It is light. It removes the gloom of what is human and renders the soul light, light and capable of any sacrifice and giving her wings of love, which give to the soul the first qualities of the celestial fatherland that knows neither oppression or darkness, but daylight without sunset. It's eternal joy that never ends. I want to give you my joy, Jesus says, so that your joy may be complete. We enter into God. That's what this great gift is. 5/23/10/30/1927. Oh, will of God, how lovable, how adorable, how desirable you are, more than my very life. Your reigning is a reign of light that has the power of emptying me of what does not belong to its light. This, it's not a halo. It's the light of God on Tabor. It's not a halo. It's the light of Our Lady of Guadalupe clothed with the sun. We are reclothed in divinity. The royal garments of light is what God's going to give to us. 5/23/11/18/1927. My daughter, as you decide to pour yourself into my divine fiat and form in your thoughts, in your words, in your works, you make a call to my divine will. Come, divine will, think in my thinking. Come, divine will, speak in my speaking. Come, divine will, work in my working. You call upon my divine will. And my divine will, feeling called, listen to this, answers the call by reflecting its light in your acts. And with its light, it has the virtue of emptying the act of any human that might be in it, filling it all that is divine. So my divine will feels called by your thoughts, called by your words, called by your hands, called by your feet, called by your heart, and reflects its light in each of them. It empties them of everything that is human and forms them in them the life of light that is divine. God is doing it. Do you see why? If you're living in the divine will, if you're striving to live in the divine will, Jesus is there with your family. There's no more arguments. There's no more jealousies. Jesus is there. It's peace, joy, and happiness. He says, I want the divine will to reign in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your parishioners. I want to reign there in, with, through, and for you as you live in, with, through, and for me. 5/24/4/16/1928. A field is about to rot because of the continuous waters. The strong wind is enough to dry it. The light, the heat of the sun are enough to revive that field again. If nature can do this, animated by the power of my divine will, more so can my most holy divine will do it over souls who let themselves be invested by the divine will. With its heat, my divine will shall mold them anew. It shall destroy what is rotten in them. And breathing over them, this Ruah of God, this breath of God, breathing over them with its light, it shall empty them of the weight of the human will, giving them their original nature. Going back to where we were before the fall. Image and likeness of God. This breathing, this Ruah of God, this second Pentecost is coming. God is going to breathe on the whole world. What's coming is beautiful. It's going to be very, very sad for those who don't want God. But what God is asking of us is to enter into this abundant life. Vine 24, 8, 6, 19, 28. My daughter, my divine will is light. And the prerogative and the virtue of light is to empty of the soul of every passion who lets herself be dominated by the divine will. I want to be dominated by the divine will. I want to dispose myself to the divine will. I want to surrender to the divine will. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. That's the life of our Heavenly Father. That's the life of the Holy Spirit. That's the image and likeness of God. Vine 25, 2, 10, 19, 29. Oh, how my fiat puts itself in feast. This is the festivity of heaven. In repeating its acts, only in the soul who lives in my divine will can it have its acts of always creating image and likeness. Things that it has done well as new things, divine things. That's Jesus in us. In fact, the soul lends to it her nothingness. I am nothing, God is everything. Emptied of the human, being little, insignificant, and hidden. That my most holy divine will, my volition, uses as the shape in order to create what it wants, almost as it used the void of the universe in order to extend the heavens. Why? To create the sun, to put the boundaries to the sea, so that the earth might form its beautiful flowerings. And that's what God's going to do to us. He's going to make of us a new creation. He's going to make of us His divine masterpiece. Vine 26, 4, 21, 19, 29. So, in order to be able to enclose even a single act of the divine will in the depths of the soul, it is necessary that the soul empties herself of all of herself. It can't be there. Why? You want God to reign. We are that drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ and return to the void of her nothingness as in the act in which she was created by God, so that the divine volition may find the space of the nothingness to be able to deposit in that soul an act of fullness of its own that is such that possessing the incessant generative virtue, one act calls for another in a way that nothing must be lacking for that soul, neither the fullness of divine light, fullness of divine sanctity, fullness of divine love, fullness of divine beauty, or the multiplicity of divine acts. That's the sanctity of sanctities. That's what's coming upon the earth. The evil one's going to be gone, and all his dominion is going to be out. It's out. The kingdom is coming. The fulfillment of the Our Father is being established now on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. You have to understand the time we're living in. You have to understand the time we're living in. This is, it's all throughout Scripture. It's all throughout the saints. The saints predict everything that's happening is happening right now. And it's not the end of the world. The kingdom is coming. It's the end of the evil one. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, get ready for the new era. Get ready for the end of time. Why? We're going to enter into eternity. 5:26:8:3:19:29. But do you know who gives the true dispositions to the soul? It's our most holy divine will. It empties the soul of everything. It reorders the soul of everything. It disposes the soul of everything in an admirable way. In such a way that our inexhaustible vein never ceases to give and to let her hear. This is Jesus speaking to us as we read, to hear the sublime lessons that I gave to Louisa. Therefore, let yourself be always dominated by my divine fiat, and our inexhaustible vein shall never cease to pour itself over you. This is the abundant showers, flowing rivers that God wants to pour over us. 5:26:9:20:19:29. Therefore, in order to enter into my fiat, the creature must empty herself of everything. And what is it? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Doubts. They got to go. Reducing herself to that point as when her creator, calling her from nothing, gave her existence to the way in which the creative power of my divine will created her, beautiful, empty of everything, and filled only with the life of the one God who created her. In the same way, the soul lets herself be invested again by the creative power of my fiat. Its light and its heat shall empty that soul of everything and shall make of that soul beauty again, beautiful again, a divine masterpiece, just when she came out of nothing, and shall admit her to live in the all of God, the all of my most holy divine will. This is what God is waiting for. He wants this to happen. He needs us to say fiat. And if you haven't read The Nothingness of the Soul, read it. The nothingness of the soul is how to live in the divine will. We have to live in our nothingness. God loves nothing. He doesn't possess it. And he wants to fill nothing with what? Himself. That's the image and likeness of God that he wants us to enter into. 5:27:11:6:19:29. My daughter, my divine will simplifies the soul. It empties the soul so much of everything that the soul does not, that does not belong to the soul. What does not belong to us is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Doubts doesn't belong to us. Nothing is left of the human being but a complex of simplicity. Why? God is the simple. God is simplicity itself. Simple the gaze, simple the word, simple the manner, simple the steps. Everything is fiat. The mark of divine simplicity can be seen in the soul as though in a mirror. It's reflection of God. Image and likeness of God. Don't be complex. This book of heaven is simple. This book of heaven is, listen to what Jesus says and put it into practice. It's not complex. It's not. Louisa had a first grade education. This is for little children, this book of heaven. It's very simple. Stop worrying. Stop being fearful. Stop complaining. Stop. Begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. 5:27:11:10:19:29. Now you must know. This is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know that as many times as the soul operates in my divine will, the soul empties herself of herself. And forms as many doors to let my most holy divine will, enter into that soul. The more the acts the soul does in my divine will, the more entrances she gives it in such a way as it become irradiated by the light, illuminated by the light of the divine fiat. That's what God's planned, to be like God, image and likeness, peaceful, joyful, and happy. The devil wants you worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That's because that's him. And Jesus said to Louisa, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, are anticipating heaven. What are we anticipating? What is our life about? Is it peaceful, joyful, and happy? Is heaven beginning to live in you and me? Volume 27, 11, 20, 19, 29. I, Jesus, had to descend to the lowest level of your human will in order to empty it. Jesus did this on the cross, purifying and establishing it and reordering it in everything. It can be said that those were many sorts of creations that I, God, was doing in you. I, God, was to make the ancient disorder of earth of your human will disappear. This is the fallen nature of Adam. This is the fallen life of Adam. In order to call back, listen to this, the order of the divine fiat in the depth of your interior, making the ancient earth of your whole being disappear, making new heavens, new suns, new seas, surprising truths rise again with its creative strength in you and in me. Through whom? Through Louisa. That's what Jesus and Mary have done. And they say, do you want this life? When we say yes, then they say, keep on reading. Study this. Make this your life. Make it the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which Louisa possesses. Volume 28, 5 to 1930. My daughter, my divine will runs, always runs as prime act of life toward the creature, and it runs to make the soul happy, to embrace the soul, to empty the weight of all human acts. And in fact, everything that is not my divine will in the creature is hard, it's heavy, it's oppressing. And my divine will empties all that is human with its light of breath. It renders all things light. See, it's to breathe in that Ruah of God. Go back to when Adam was created. Go back to the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus will teach you. Breathe in that breath, that Ruah of God, that God breathed into Adam. Breathe in me, my breathing. Recreate me into your image and likeness. Therefore, the sign that the soul lives in my divine will is that the soul feels happiness within herself. Because my divine will is happiness by its own nature. Nor can it give unhappiness to the soul who lives in the divine will, because it does not possess it, nor does it want to or can change its nature. Therefore, the one who lives in my fiat feels within herself the virtue bearing of happiness, the virtue bearer of happiness. In everything that the soul does, everything that the soul thinks, everything that the soul says, and feels a vein of happiness flowing that renders every act, every pain, every light, every sacrifice, a divine light. This is what he's waiting for us to begin to live this. This happiness carries within itself the emptying of all evils and fills the soul with invincible strength in such a way that with all truth the soul can say, I can do anything. Jesus is in me. I can reach anything because Jesus is within me. Because I feel transmuted into the divine will where Jesus is, that has banished all my weaknesses, all my miseries, all my passions far away from me. That's what God's waiting. He's waiting for us to live this, where we can say this truthfully. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Volume 29, 5:10, 1931. So my daughter, the yeast of my divine fiat has only the virtue of fermenting your acts, emptying them of all that is human in order to convert them into the bread of the divine will. But it's not enough. But it takes a continuous act of sacrifices for a long time in such a way that my divine will with this fermenting virtue shall ferment all these acts so as to form much bread and to keep it prepared in store for whom? For the children of its kingdom. That's us. Remember what Jesus said. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. It killed the bread. It was poison. What is that? That's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sad. Avoid that. I don't want that yeast. But he says, I want the yeast of my divine will. What is it? Peace, joy, and happiness. It brings light and life and love. This is how God is asking us to begin to live. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of the yeast of the religious. My spiritual director told me that a long time ago when I was in the seminary. He said, if a priest isn't happy, avoid him. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. And that doesn't mean being giddy. Doesn't mean to be laughing all the time. But happy, peaceful, joyful, knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, believing Jesus, knowing Our Lady, trusting Our Lady, believing in Our Lady. This is what Luisa did. She was happy. I remember talking to Father Bucci. He's the last priest that knew Luisa. He said she was filled with happiness. She was filled with it. Here she was in bed for 64 years. Archbishop Pacheri says 70. Not eating, drinking, or sleeping. And she was filled with happiness. Why? She was with Jesus and Mary. This is what the children of the kingdom are all about. Volume 30, 1:3, 1932. Our divine will uses its loving strategisms. It spies on the dispositions and it blows. It breathes this breath like the light breeze and puts to flight the ashes of the human will that it has produced. The particle of our divine infinite love is revived. We begin to breathe what Adam had, image and likeness. It lights up. My divine will continues to blow, breathe this air. It adds more divine love. The soul feels herself being emptied, warmed, and the soul experiences the coolings of love, the fresh air of love, which from the particle of the infinite love that she possesses. She loves us, Triune God. She gives us, Triune God, her own, our divine love. Breathe in this so you can breathe it back to God. To give, God gives us, I divine, I love you. We breathe it back to God. I divinely, I love you. Because it's Jesus in me that's doing it. Volume 30, 522-1932. When we see the creature empty of everything, wanting nothing else but our divine will, we are so greatly delighted to the point of drowning that soul in divine light, with divine love, with our truths that belong to us. And then we go on breaking down for her into small pieces, little by little, that which we have infused in her altogether. In this way, we also delight in adapting ourselves to the soul's small capacity. This abundant light, he says, I break it down so that you can breathe it. You can, God can gaze in your gazing, listen in your listening, speak in your speaking, dance in your dancing. God is doing that. Volume 31, 9/8, 1932. Now, do you want to know who returns to the open doors to burn up the bars? The one who leads, who loves me and lives in my divine will. The love and my fiat are powerful forces that burns and empties everything. The bars of the prison are gone. Everything is open. All the ways, all open the ways. Why? So as to place the distant child once again back into the arms of his celestial father. That's where we're going. We're going back to receive our divine inheritance of the Father. Volume 31, 11/6/1932. The one who operates outside of my divine will operates in time, loves, adores in time, and looks upon in time. Everything that has done in time is works without confirmation. Our Lady says, time has now come to an end. The complete opposite for the soul who lives in our divine will, since those are our acts, God's acts. Everything is fullness of divine sanctity, of divine love, of divine beauty, of divine grace, of divine light, of an infinite divine value. There is such distance between one and the other that if one could comprehend it, oh, how attentive the souls would be to live in our divine will, so as to be emptied of the human act and be filled with operating act of the divine will. Therefore, Jesus says, be attentive and do nothing that is not filtered, that is not emptied by this divine light of my divine will. And you, the soul, shall give back to me the highest contentment of setting to work, of being allowed again, as I did with Adam, to operate as the God that I am in your soul. That's what's coming. The saints did not know about this. The saints were taught to do the will of God. With Louisa, Jesus taught her to live in the will of God. So we'll end there. We'll be back in an hour an hour and 15 minutes to begin part four. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.